chill went through her, as if someone from a great distance touched the deepest part of her and knew her. She turned the page and started reading. Chapter 6, Old Myths.
No one can fight without balance.
Master Roop, Stavkesh, 8466 TYA, though your arrival. Stavkesh. The name itself inspires a shiver of anticipation, a frisson of excitement. For Lannery, Qigong Kesh was a place of contemplation and immersion in Force skills, nursing and nurturing them, and considering what the Force meant to her. At the martial arts temple of Stavkesh, she will learn to fight. It is dawn as Lannery and Dale approach the temple. They'd camped several kilometers to the north, and breaking camp when the sun rose above the eastern horizon is an incredible moment. The air here is thin, the mountains high, and they are both dizzy with breathlessness. But the thin air seems to purify the amazing colors of dawn. Dale seems excited. He was always good in a fight, as several arguments with the children of other Jedi at Bodhi Temple had proved. Lannery hopes that he will find the Force here and truly welcome it at last. When he sees what it can do, when he feels how it might help. "This is my time," he says as they stand on a rocky cliff path, a shallow ravine to their right. Snow had fallen in the night, and a light covering softens their harsh surroundings. "Don't try to be my teacher here, Lannery. And don't try to be mother and father. You're my sister, that's all. Whatever happens to me here is my responsibility."
"Our parents made you my responsibility.
We're not children anymore. And I'm my own man." It's a surprising thing for Dale to say. But as he walks ahead of her toward the temple, and she sees the strength in his stance and the determined set of his shoulders, it does not seem ridiculous at all. The breeze is picking up. Snow dances through the air. The landscape is harsh, weather likewise. Lannery knows that Stavkesh is never an easy place to be.
"My name is Tave, and I'm one of the masters of the temple. We've been expecting you. How was your journey south from the sea?"
"No problems," Dale says. He does not mention the fire taiga, and when Master Tave glances at the healing burns across his forearms, Dale says nothing. After a brief pause, the Nogri master smiles.
"Good. Wait here, and I'll send a droid to show you to your quarters. You have the morning to perform breathing exercises, acclimatize to the altitude. After lunch, your training begins. This afternoon, Force breathing."
"Breathing?" Dale says. "I thought this was the martial arts temple." Master Tave stares at Dale, glances at Lannery, then turns his back on them both.
"Dale," Lannery whispers, "don't be rude."
"Rude?" he asks, but at least he's keeping his voice low.
"But don't you think Master Tave knows what he's doing?"
"Yes, well, but breathing?"
"I'm sure it'll all make sense."
She walks past Dale and between the wide temple doors, suddenly afraid that they will swing closed and shut her outside. Perhaps this is how Dale sometimes feels, she thinks. Her brother follows her inside, and together they take in their surroundings. She has seen plenty of hollows of Stavkesh, and heard many stories from those journeyers who visited there before Bodhi Temple in their own great journeys of learning. But nothing could have prepared her for the real thing. The strength of the Force, for a start. Lannery can feel the Force here as an almost physical presence. Ashlaw and Bogan exerting a gravity upon her that seems to stretch, pull in all directions, and give her body an incredible lightness. It is easy to let herself fall into the flow, and the talents she honed at Qigong Kesh feel even more refined here. The Force is close, and it takes so little effort to become one with it. She glances at Dale. He is looking about him in wonder, and she hopes that some of it is recognition of the Force. But after what he said outside, she will not ask him. Stav Kesh does not so much cling to the mountainside as form it. Rocky outcroppings are visible here and there, but most of what Lannery can see above her are buildings. They start at her level and rise up the slope of the mountain, projecting out over heavy buttresses and elsewhere forming sheer cliffs of smooth gray stone. Windows pock wide facades, and balconies held up by slender, incredibly strong supports stretch out over long drops. Canvas window shades are already flapping in the dawn breeze, lending splashes of a dozen colors to the sandstone city. A waterfall tumbles from high above, leaving glittering icicles on the buildings and rocks it passes by. A series of wheels are driven by the fast-moving water. Spray hazes the air, and the newborn sun casts several rainbows across illuminated parts of the city. As Lannery watches the sun line move around the mountain's girth, the rainbows seem to be driving shadows before them. The scene is beautiful, and she remembers at last to draw a breath. On the mountainside below them sits the Tho-Yor. They passed it on their ascent, mysterious, enigmatic, and the recent snowfall coated it with a glittering layer.
"Bet our room's right at the top," Dale says.
Lannery laughs, more than the comment warrants, because she is so pleased at hearing even a hint of humor from her brother. A floating droid arrives and utters their names in an electronic buzz. They follow. By the time they reach their quarters, Dale is laughing hard and panting and perhaps crying just a little.
1,300, he says, gasping. I lost count of the steps after that.
Good training, Lannery gasps. They glance into their room. Beds, benches, little else. Their training robes are laid on the beds, and she can already tell how rough they are and how cold they will be wearing them. Toughening us up, she thinks. She asks the droid where their afternoon session will take place.
Master Tave always takes his classes in the lower training levels,
the droid burrs. Of course he does, Lannery says. Of course.
Attack me, Master Tave says. With anything you can.
The students are hesitant. Even Lannery pauses, though she knows that the master will not suggest anything he does not mean. Then she walks to the weapons rack, picks up a slingshot, and fires a stone at the master's head. He steps aside, and it misses. She pushes a force punch his way, and he deflects it with a flick of his fingers.